Chapter 3. Beneath the Crescent Moon. Bidi knew fury. One of the Red Ones had vexed his great master. One of the foolish creatures that never learned, even as their kin died by the score to his lord's mighty spur, his shovel. Yet it was different from the others, somehow managing to sneak past Bidi, nearly slaying one of the great master's flock. It was fortunate that he had that ill feeling and thus gone on patrol. He had barely sounded the alarm in time, his voice berating the foul interloper. But this Red One, this vile beast, was skilled. It danced around Bidi's blows as he called upon his great master. His lord had appeared from his coop to bring death upon the interloper. Yet, horror of horrors, the monster had evaded the great master's mighty spur, the one that he used to tame the earth. In all other cases, his iron spur had been a command of death. With a single contemptuous blow, he had smote all others, but not this one. At first, Bidi was stunned nearly to the point of spitting blood. Why did his great master not pursue it? He could have easily slain the interloper, this demon, if he directed his full and terrible wrath against it. He did not understand, but he knew his great master had wisdom that far eclipsed his. Thrice the foul spawn did attempt to take what was rightfully the great master's, its guile, cunning, and luxurious pelt surpassing all its kin. Thrice did the great master's mighty blows miss. The great master even gave it a name from the very pits of hell. Basibushi. Bidi shuddered whenever he heard it. His great master's words of power contained both virtuous and fell wisdom. Each night, he contemplated his great master's wisdom and methods while staring at the moon. The great celestial body was calming to gaze upon, and when he was not alert for interlopers, he found himself drawn to its sublime radiance. But now he understood. He had deciphered the conundrum his great master had set before him. His great master had once more brought out his mobile coop, the thing with wheels that could be pulled behind his lord. He remembered vaguely, before he was enlightened, traveling to these blessed lands upon the mighty fortress from another place that was hazier. Some of his master's supplies had run low. He wished to return to the other place so that the people there might give tribute to his glory. But to travel outwards, the great master would have to leave his home with only Bidi remaining to serve as Faram's guardian. And he was not strong enough. His weakness was preventing the master from living how he wished. It was unacceptable. He had been issued a challenge in Basibushi's continued existence, a mighty task to prove his worth against the wicked. The great pillars of the Faram called. He redoubled his efforts. His kicks took on new energy, his dance, new grace. He would slay this mighty enemy and earn his great master's trust. Well, just a bit more till I head back to Verdant Hill, I mused as I worked. I'd have to take the chickens along with me so they didn't all get eaten. I knew I should probably finally deal with Basil Brush. I had been kind of lazy about it, just chasing him off and hoping he would get the message, but he was becoming persistent. I couldn't blame him. The chickens were growing big. Big D had basically reached adulthood. He was now much more solid-looking than the string bean he used to be. His plumage was a lovely red color, and his tail a nice green. The classic rooster. I squinted at Big D as I finished dressing a fox pelt. I tilted my head to the side, trying to make sense of what he was doing. Is my fucking chicken doing a training montage? I watched his incredibly crisp kicks for a little longer. I shook my head. Nah, I've just spent too long alone and I'm humanizing him a bit too much. Or maybe it's just cultivator world bullshit. I returned to my work while humming. I had a few good things to sell and these fox belts were really nice. All right, next time I see Basil, I'll hunt him down. The damn fox puppet always annoyed me in the before, and I'll be damned if I let him laugh at me. It had taken 3 days. 3 days of diligent, non-stop training, refining his kicks, sharpening his spurs. He was ready. The image in his mind of the Wicked One's movements were set. He knew how it would fight. Tonight, he, Bidi, would slay the wicked Basibushi. Tonight it would be either glorious victory or his death. Either were acceptable. If he fell in battle, it merely proved that he was unworthy of his great master's continued sufferance. He went into the night, hopping from tree branch to tree branch in silence. The lands of Faram were impossibly vast, yet he persevered. Into the northern forest he ventured, where the Wicked One had fled every night, scampering away from his great master's wrath. There, he found his quarry. Basibushi. Rage seized his heart at the beast, walking upon the great master's domain like it owned it. It was utterly unacceptable. He would have the beast die a thousand deaths for its arrogance. And arrogant it was. It stalked, but did not realize others could stalk it. In silence, Vidi descended from his perch, striking from the heavens against this beast from hell. His legs lashed with great strength, and his enemy snarled in pain. His spurs bit deep, penetrating flesh, but it was no killing blow, the creature's fur and pelt deflecting some of the damage. He struck again to press his advantage, but Basibushi was worthy of his hellish name. The lithe creature shot away with the deep scar in its flesh leaking blood profusely. Bidi saw it in his mortal enemy's eyes, the spark of awareness, the spark of fury. This one knew too. It was not as the hens were. It was as Bidi himself was. His foe did not run. It knew he had not called his great master. It knew it could lay him low here. Their silent dance began. His legs and spurs cut through the night air as he flipped and dashed around his enemy's razor teeth and tearing claws. It tried to strike him with its paws, to foul his footing and drive him to the earth, but he had grown wise to these beasts' tricks, dodging around its wicked claws and leaping away from its snapping teeth. The two whirls of red chased each other through the forest, bouncing off the mighty trunks and leaving gouges on the forest floor. Bidi felt triumph. He was equally matched with the beast, though all his instincts screamed it was his absolute superior. Its nose was slashed open, one of its ears a ragged mass. His spurs ran crimson. But the Wicked One had more tricks. It raised its limb to strike another blow, sending Bidi's wings snapping out to redirect the momentum. He saw the gleam of satisfaction too late. The paw slammed down instead, launching the Wicked One forwards, and the vile Basibushi became a streamer of red trailing behind an open maw. Teeth crashed down upon his wing. The Wicked One shook its head savagely and then threw him across the clearing to slam into a tree. It was pain like no other. He nearly cried out. He nearly summoned his great master. But he refused. This was his test, and he refused to fail. He staggered to his feet, his legs shaking with the effort. Basibushi drove him to the earth with a mighty paw. His head slammed into the forest floor, the smell of blood and dirt filling Bidi's nostrils. Basibushi laughed over besting the great master's disciple. He savored his victory. Bidi knew only shame as he lay there, pinned to the base earth. He could not return his great master's blessings. He could not ever repay him. All Bidi could do is stare up at the night sky in torment. The enormous crescent moon loomed in his vision. It was his favorite phase of the celestial object. He always contemplated it when it showed its most perfect form. It looked somewhat like his master's mighty spur, or his own useless, weak ones. Ah, how he wished for a mighty weapon to slay the wicked. The crescent moon loomed. Bidi, in his last moments, contemplated the lunar glory. Bidi, in his last moments, understood. He guided his energy and intent true. Blades of light, pure as the moon above, sprung from his limbs. Rising of the crescent moon. His body rose from its prone position, and he ascended as surely as the moon. The Wicked One could not contain him, its paw hurled back from the force. The blade struck true, gouging out one of the foul spawn's eyes as he flipped in the air. The enemy shrieked in pain, its very soul burned by the righteous heavenly blades he now bore. He hung in the sky, under the moon's celestial light, gazing down upon his enemy. All things that rise, fall. Descending lunar fangs. It was inevitable, as true as the sun, the moon, and the stars set in the sky, so too did he once more descend to the base earth, carrying the weight and glory of heaven with him. Both of his glimmering spurs buried themselves in the neck of the Red One, this unsightly Basibushi. Wheel of the crescent moon. His legs split apart, once more throwing him into a flip. The white energy formed a ring-like afterimage around him and parted his mortal enemy's head from its shoulders. He landed gracefully once more upon the earth. His enemy's head thumped to the ground behind him. Then, Bidhi collapsed onto his side, exhaustion overcoming him. His breath came in great gasps as he greedily tried to suck in air. He turned once more to his enemy, as if the monster would rise again, even without his head. The wicked beast did not move. His body remained still. He had done it. Bidhi had completed his master's task. He roared his victory to the heavens, praising the moon for its guidance. The air reverberated. His own females burst into surprised clucks and began calling too when they heard his victorious voice. His great master burst into the clearing a moment later, worry and fury in his eyes. I stumbled to a stop after once again being called out of bed. Big D being this far away when he screamed was worrying. Had he been taken by the fox? I moved as fast as I could and found the source. The small clearing was cut up from something, and there was Big D looking pleased as punch, standing on the mangled and beheaded form of Basil Brush. What the fuck? His great master, as always, lavished affection upon him. His broken wing was bandaged, his disheveled feathers combed, and his wattles rubbed in a most pleasing way. His great master praised him, commending his strength in no uncertain terms, while his lord carried him in his arms. He was delivered back to the coop and fed full sprigs of heavenly herbs. His great master commanded him to rest and heal. He was a good disciple of his great master. He had passed his test and was now granted guardianship of great Faram, trusted to hold faith for his lord while he braved the world.